Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to our Blog Talk Radio. And I'm your host, Rose Young, and I have here with me. I'm sorry, I have you guys on mute. Go ahead.
Good morning. This is Vaughn. How are you guys doing this morning?
Hello, Vaughn. Good morning. The second voice is that. Chad?
Chad, yes, I'm on today.
Hi,
how
Chad.
You guys doing?
All welcome. Right. Good morning. Welcome, Chad.
Top of the morning. Top of the morning.
Good morning, sir.
How was everybody's week?
Awesome.
My week was pretty good.
That's what's up.
Okay. All right, and Danielle hasn't joined us yet, as of yet. Okay, so, well, good morning, listeners. Welcome to the International Mastermind Association Saturday morning Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Rose, and I have with me Vaughn, Chad, and sometime later, I believe Danielle should be joining us, and we are Plan with Intention Mastermind Group. Yay! We're energized and ready this morning, this early Saturday morning, to be on the air with all of you. So we invite you to call, text, email, call your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, and let them know, hey, we're on. We're on the air. We're live. And we're about to get started. You can either join us via internet by logging on to www.blogtalkradio.com/mastermind or by calling in our live line at 661-554-9219. And if you want to communicate with us while we're live right now on the show, press 1 on your phone, and you can also join us on the chat room or log on to your Facebook page and visit the group page at International Mastermind Association. Make a comment on our Facebook page. Let us know you're listening. You have any questions, that those things as well, just let us know, and we'll be monitoring the page while we're on the call. And today we're going to continue to discuss on the bestseller, Think and Grow Rich, Chapter 10, Sexual Transmutation. And that is Chapter 10. I don't have my book in front of me, guys. Do you know what page that starts on? Can somebody give me a number quickly?
I don't have a page number on me.
Okay. It is Chapter 10. I don't have
it
my book in front of me.
It starts on page 189.
Awesome.
On page 189. Okay, we'll be starting
awesome.
This morning we'll be starting on page 197. We'll recap what we discussed in the previous shows, sexual transmutation, and we've come to a conclusion that sexual transmutation is nothing more than utilizing that energy, the fuel that motivates us and moves us and drives us into things that are non-sexual, but
okay,
beneficial to our lives.
All right. Well, before we get started, let's tell our listeners about a little about International Mastermind, guys.
The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
And we're back. We're back.
Oh, shoot. Okay, and we're back.
All right.
I think this morning we'll just dive right in and get started. Right. Is that all right with you, Chad? You had something you wanted to talk about?
No. I think what you said is pretty good. As soon as we dive in, I guess go ahead and I can start bringing up some of these notes.
All right. I wanna start on page 197, the very last paragraph. It reads, and this gave me a whole new insight on another perspective on sexual transmutation. It says, there's plenty of reliable evidence that the faculty of creative imagination exists. This evidence is available through accurate analysis of people who have become leaders in their own respective calling without having had extensive educations. Lincoln is notable. As a notable example of a great leader who achieved greatness through the discovery and use of his faculty of creative imagination. He discovered and began to use this faculty as a result of a stimulation of love, which he experienced after he met Ann Rutledge, a statement of the highest significance in connection with the study of the source of genius. Now,
good morning, Ann.
That tells me that in that statement, what I'm hearing, I hear that behind every great woman, behind every great man is a great woman. The motivating factor in his quest may have been his desire for Ann Rutledge. And if you look at people that are involved and engaged in real relationships, they actually work together to inspire one another to move forward in positive light or to accomplish goals.
Yes, Vaughn, I love when you say that because I was just reading this book, and it's by Dr. Miles Monroe, and I'm just going to reference that. You know, kind of go into what that explains, but he goes more into the biblical explanation of the purpose of a woman. And it says here, when God said he would make a helper for a man, he intended that the woman to be the helpmeet for the men in general and not just for husbands. So meaning if you are a woman, you are meant to be a spiritual help and encouragement to the men you encounter in life. So it's not always, it shouldn't be a sexual connection or a relationship in order for you to be a help meet to the men that we encounter as women. So I thought that was very interesting, and I love that part of the chapter where he goes into explaining how the two gender go together, go hand in hand when it comes to transmuting that energy or serving as the woman serving as a helpmeet. Right? What you think about that, Chad? Because I know you've read a lot of his book and a lot of, attended a lot of his inspirational events where he would talk about about relationships.
Yeah, well, I think when it comes to relationships, and especially dealing with the chapter, dealing with transmutation, relationships seem to be one of the key factors into achieving certain goals. Even when it talks about the 10 stimulus, one of the things is like love from family and friends, and engaged with having a social, having a, basically some type of social activity with somebody else other than yourself, and those type of gatherings or the wanting for those type of gatherings would have one role in a way or come up with some type of creativity or try to, you know, do things in a way that would lead to more relationship or more fellowship with one another. So I can definitely see how relationships play a key factor in transmutation, because you definitely have to be able to transmutate that energy, that sexual energy, to do different things when you're out with friends and, you know, having fun and stuff like that.
Right.
Well, for me, I think exactly you're right on, Chad, but I also think it's a little deeper than that. Now, and if I'm wrong, like, I can stand it straight and, like, give it to me straight, blood raw.
No problem.
But, no, listen to what I'm saying.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's say a child, a little boy, one of his goals in life is to, at that stage, he's 7 years old. At 7 years old, he wants to make his mother proud of him. Right? That's
right.
One of the things that he, you know, he wakes up every day. He says, you know what? I'm gonna get a good word out of my mother. She's gonna have a smile on her face when
yeah.
she thinks about what I did today. Right? Now
right.
he's an adult. He's an adult, and he's no longer living in mom's house. He's married.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And this is where the transmutation goes.
Mm-hmm.
He's a married man now, 24 years old, making moves. His affection has, although he still loves his mother in great detail, with great extent, he also has another that he loves now.
Right.
That he wants to make that same feeling he wants his wife to have. He wants her to be proud of him.
Right.
You know what I mean? So he does the things, he utilizes the creative side of his mind, the creative imagination, to accomplish these things.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, you have to see, the thing about transmutation is a lot of the times we end up doing it without knowing that we're doing it. And when it comes to situations like that, yeah, very much so, because even as I look back at the stimuli that I have on my notes, it says friendship between either those of the same sex or those of opposite sex. That's number five. And number three were the two that stuck out to me. Number three says a burning desire for fame, power, financial gain, or money. Anytime I believe that, you know, if you have any of these things as your focus, like you want to be a little popular, a little more well-known, or you want to gain a little bit of power or have a significant financial gain, it comes through your transmutation. It comes through how you're going to transmute that energy that's probably driven by sex to accomplish a goal, to have a greater broads of creativity or expectation that's going to drive you or be the driving force to push you to accomplish that said goal.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Before we go any further, let's go into a commercial. It's time to pay some bills.
All right.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-2255. 1-508-530-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
And we're back. Chad, I think that was a very good point. I also kind of start to look at my life and my current situation. That's the reason I was able to kind of, you know, go from the childhood to adulthood, because I have an understanding that it's the same thing. It's just at a young age, at that young innocent age, we don't know that what that energy is called, or we don't know the use for that energy.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the times, keeping along with what you're saying, because when you don't know what the energy is or what it's used for, what it's supposed to be used for, that's when you get caught up in just having the sexual encounters versus the transmutation part of the sex, which is the part that Napoleon Hill is talking about in this particular chapter, because he understands and he maps out that that's a basic desire for everybody, and we just have to understand how to transmutate it, how to turn it into a force that's going to help us to grow rich and to think rich.
That's what's up. Yeah. If by chance, if Ms. Ann McNeil is listening, we would love to hear from her.
She'll
dive in and give us a little direction. But until then, let us keep moving right along. On page 200, it posts, it says, why most people seldom succeed before 40. And we're right at the beginning of the second paragraph, and it reads, I discovered from the analysis of more than 25,000 people that individuals who succeed in an outstanding way seldom do so before age of 40, and more often they do not strike their real pace until they are well beyond 50. This fact was so astounding that it prompted me to go into the study of its cause carefully, carrying the investigation over a period of more than 12 years. Now, I haven't investigated. I can just tell you what my eyes have seen. That's a true statement. We're talking about a book that was written well over 70 years ago, and it still exists to this day. What do you, Chad and Rose, chime in? Why do you think that is an ongoing cycle?
But ladies first.
Yeah, maybe it's just me and you, baby.
Rose, she probably is.
I'm sorry, I was on mute, Vaughn. I missed that question.
The question is, why don't people, and I'll say it again, the book was written well over 70 years ago, and those numbers still remain solid. Why don't people start to succeed until they're in their 40s? Or even be on point till they in their 50s. Okay, anybody? Somebody?
Okay. From my viewpoint, the reason why it's like, because I mean, I could clearly see from my own life, as I got past the threshold of 30, a lot of things in my life like kind of began to like body-wise, you know, you begin to break down or lose some of the energy or momentum that you used to have. So at that time, at that particular point, for every person, whether male or female, sex begins to become, not that it's less desired, but
it becomes more of a it becomes more of something that you're gonna get into. It's not gonna be a priority, put it like that. Okay, it may be something that you desire to do, but it's gonna drop down on your priority list. And as you grow older, you begin to see a lot of more things become higher on that priority list, like health, well-being of life, family, friends, having those right relationships, making sure you're living right. Religion begins to become a more of a key sense when you get a little bit older. And all of those things, I believe, push the actual action of sex back to the back burner. So therefore, if it's pushing the action of sex back and we still have the desire, therefore, I believe that's when transmutation then takes place. So therefore, at that age, you're at a greater rate of transmuting that sexual tension than actually involved in it if you were when you were a lot younger.
I agree with you, Chad. As you get older, you know, you have less. Hello. Oh, got one background there. I agree. As you get older, you have less things to on your plate, on your priority list, and you're able to focus more on those desires and those things that you would like to achieve and work harder at it versus when you're young, you're bombarded by all the distractions of partying and living life because you're young and thinking you're going to miss out on certain things and certain things that it's portrayed that young people should be doing at that time, you know. And then sex happens to be one of the main things, you know, a strong force or energy that is out there that is portrayed in the media and on TVs, music, and, you know, all the above, you know, and more. And before we go on, let's give a shout-out to our founder, the president of IMA, Mrs. Ann McNeil, the master builder, building mastermind. I believe she's joining us shortly. Let's double-check here.
Hello, good morning.
Ann, are you there? Good morning.
Yes, good morning. And again, this is Ann McNeil, the master builder, building stronger and better lives through masterminding. And I have to chime in here and say three words to answer that question. And they are wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And that's one of the reasons why we don't come into this knowledge of how to transmute this energy until we are approaching or after the age of 50. My favorite book, the other favorite book, the book, tells us that we should really seek wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and very often that comes with age. Thank you, and I'm going back on mute, and you're doing a great job.
Thank you, Anne.
Oh, Miss Ann, you make me want to holler. I swear you do. You make me want to holler. The reason I'm saying that is because I look down further into the paragraph, into the book, and we're on page 200. And if you skip down to the third paragraph, it reads, "The lives of many people up to and sometimes well past the age of 40 reflect a continued dispossession of energies, which could have been more possibly turned into better channels. Their finer and more powerful emotions are sown wildly to the four winds. Out of this habit grows the term sowing one's wild oats. The desire for sexual expression is by far stronger, the strongest and most impelling of all human emotions, and for this very reason, this desire, when harnessed and transmuted into action other than physical expression, may lift one into the genius mode." Now, exactly what Miss Ann just gave us. When when we're young, we're not operating in wisdom. We may have some knowledge, but the wise man, a wise person actually realizes that life is so much more than just sex. And we focus more, we'll be more diligent at that, at the sexual part of our lives than we are at any other place. And when we get to an age, when we get older, 40 years old, 50 years old, that desire or that has like played out just like anything else. It's kind of played out by then. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt to prove it. You know what I mean? Then we start to focus. Then we start to prioritize differently. We change our priorities. You know, but as young people, that becomes our priority. So before we go any further, well, we have a few more minutes. With that being said, let's keep it right rolling. With that being said, what are ways, if anybody has any suggestions to our listeners, people that may log on to the show later, if you have any type of information that will be helpful to start this today at 16, 17, 25, before we get before we turn 40 years old. All right, now listen, let me tell you guys. Hold on. When I do that, when I ask questions like that, it's like I'm asking for a lifeline, and somebody's supposed to, like, throw it out so I won't drown.
I was coming. I was getting the buoy.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Yeah. Well, to a 16-year-old, I believe we even said a little something about it last when our special guest came on, and it was basically getting at the fact that, you know, they need to be educated from now. We as adults that know this, that have traveled this road already and that have been understanding, and we have been going through the ups and the downs, the pros and the cons of being caught up into different activities. We are the ones that need to educate the younger ones, because at that age, like we were just saying, you really don't understand. Your mind is focused on different things, and you know, you're trying to fit in, trying to, you know, still experience in life and all of that stuff. So you really don't have the focus that you need. And I believe that's one of the reasons why, you know, why the good Lord and His intelligence put us all together to work with one another so that we could help each other out. And I believe that's one of the main ways that we can get past it, or help a 16-year-old or 15-year-old or anybody that's in that situation. It's definitely through making a conversation, but educating them as well.
Chad, you're a bad man. You're a bad man.
Well, Danielle just joined us, Vaughn. Welcome, Danielle.
Oh,
hi.
Hey,
good morning, everyone. How's everyone?
Good. Before we ask you how you feel, your views, we would like to go into a brief commercial. And then, Danielle, you do your thing, baby.
Oh, goodness. All right.
Start your year with full accountability and balance. Join the International Mastermind Association Friday and Saturday, January 11th and 12th, 2013, for the International Mastermind Association Annual Retreat in beautiful Boca Raton, Florida. The International Mastermind Association Annual Retreat is a day and a half of accountability, creating, sharing, and celebrating goals and accomplishments with like-minded individuals that are living their lives on purpose. You don't want to miss it. For registration and more information on this life-enlightening event, please visit our website at internationalmasterminders.com.
So we're back now Vaughn, Rose, Chad, I have no intention at all in taking over this morning because from what I understand, you all are doing an absolutely magnificent job. So I'm just joining you all this morning.
Danielle, we don't want you to take over. We just want you to be a part of the team, baby.
Oh, excuse me. It's my cousin, Shanita says. Pardon me. Thank you very much. Okay, so where did we end up? Where did we stop before the last commercial? You put out a question, right?
Yeah, I put out the question. I was reading from page 200 where it asked the question, why most people seldom succeed before 40? And we got into the text somewhat, but I thought that it was a stopping point, a point where we should put a pin in it and really reflect on it. Because, like I said earlier, this book was written well over 70 years ago, and that is a statistic that still stands today.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do we achieve getting past the point in our lives where sex isn't the primary focus of our lives? Because when it becomes primary, that means we have tunnel vision. Yeah, we do the other things in life. We go to school. We go to work. But we don't start to become successful or walk into that genius until after our 40s. Until our 40s. Well, I'm approaching 40, and I don't want the same life for my children that I had. I want them to be as far more advanced than I am.
Well, yeah.
That's the question.
Well, you know, I have to go back into the chapter. I have to go back towards the beginning of the chapter, and I don't know if this is covered already, but when we remember, as the first page of chapter 10 states, talking about the potentialities, it's like you have to go back to the beginning, okay? You have to go back to the beginning and remember that the three purposes, potentialities of sex, are the perpetuation of the human race, the maintenance of sound physical and emotional health, and the transformation of mediocrity into genius through transmutation. So I think my answer is that one of the ways to restructure, if you will, the thought process of the current growing younger generation is to help them understand the purpose of sex. Oh, there's a lot of noise in the background. I'm at the airport. And to remember that, you know, sex is not just about what mainstream society is leading us and has led us to believe sex is about. I don't really think many people would disagree when I say that mainstream society has cheapened and kind of demoralized sex and the emotions and even the consequences behind sex. So helping them understand what the emotions are behind it, because a lot of times it's not even about sex. You know, it's just about the fulfillment of what they or we think that sex will bring us. But, so does that make sense? Okay, I'm going to take that as a yes.
Yes, it does.
Thank you. So I actually want to, there was something that I read on page 100. Don't fail me now. Oh, no. Okay. On page 198, I got it. On page 198, the first paragraph states, The pages of history are filled with records of great leaders whose achievements may be traced directly to the influence of their beloved, the person who aroused the creative faculties of their minds through the stimulation of sex desire. Okay, now, understanding there is a difference between the act of sex and the desire. Okay, Napoleon Bonaparte was one of these. When inspired by his first wife, Josephine, he was irresistible and invincible. Now, any man, raise your hand. Yeah, press one. Press one if you would not want to feel irresistible and invincible. When his better judgment or reasoning faculty prompted him to put Josephine aside, he began to decline. His defeat at St. Helena were not far distant. And then, let's see, farther down, in the next paragraph, Napoleon Hill states, Napoleon Hill was talking about Napoleon Bonaparte, was not the only person to discover that sex influence from the right source is more powerful than any substitute of expediency, which may be created by mere reason. The human mind responds to stimulation. And then two paragraphs below that. Unfortunately, the geniuses have made this discovery. Only the geniuses have made this discovery. Others have accepted the experience of sexual urge without discovering one of its major potentialities. And remember, the very first potentiality is the perpetuation of the human race, a fact which accounts for the great number of others as compared to the limited number of geniuses. So what he's saying, I skipped this other paragraph. Okay, I'll read it anyway. Among the greatest and most powerful of these stimuli is the sexual urge, which we've read already in the chapter. When harnessed and transmuted, this driving force is capable of lifting individuals into that higher sphere of thought which enables them to master the sources of worry and petty annoyance which beset their pathway on the lower planes. So what he's saying is that only the geniuses have figured out how to maneuver around these, what does he call them, sources of worry and petty annoyance through ways other than the first potentiality of the sex desire, which is the perpetuation of the human race. And then, you know what I thought about? And everyone in unison says, "What, Danelle?
What
Danelle? Okay, there we go. I thought about the book, The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. And the reason that I thought about this book was that for us as adults, it's important for us to understand, and even for children, but we're talking about adults. Well, I'm talking about adults. It's important for us to understand what our own love language is so that we don't get confused with always thinking that sex and the first major potentiality of sex, which is, again, the perpetuation of the human race, the end result of sex as we know it for the most part. So we don't think that that is how we solve our problems, our worries, and petty annoyances. Does that make sense? That was my eureka moment. That was my aha.
It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense.
I don't know if
you were on earlier, Danelle. Excuse me for cutting you off. I don't know if you were on earlier, but one of the examples I used was a 7-year-old child wanting to please its parents, its mother, its father, and so on, so forth. All right, we want to be held in high esteem, and we utilize the juices, the energy that we have not labeled yet as a child to receive that affection, that attention, that praise and high esteem. Well, when we go on in life, now this child is no longer 7, he's 27, and he's dating and he's married or so on and so forth, we will at times utilize that same energy. We'll channel that same energy for the esteem that we of the love of our lives. You know what I mean? And it's usually during the dating period. You know what I mean? I call that the representation period. That's when you send out a representative to tell who you are, to show, you know, what you have going on. But we also have to channel that once we're in a relationship, and it's not the sexual part that matters. I think that the esteem of that loved one is what is another form of fuel for us to accomplish greatness.
Most indubitably, yes. Yep. And that's why Napoleon Hill said in that first paragraph that about Napoleon Bonaparte, that when he was inspired by his first wife, Josephine, he was irresistible and invincible, you know, and that's how he felt. That's how he felt, so that's how he behaved. That's what he personified. So, yeah, if we, or when we are able to identify the things that make us feel invincible, and they are channeled properly and not like in a catch-all kind of activity like sex or the end result of sex, then we're able to function and think and relate and communicate a lot clearer with more purpose and drive and all of that, yeah.
Right, and that's really this morning as I was reviewing, that's what stuck out to me, the actual the story about Napoleon Bonaparte. It was a standout point because it started me to think it started me to think not on people that I've read about, but just people that I know. And the energy that we use or they have used in an effort to achieve a certain goal, which will be the desire of their heart's desire.
Mm-hmm.
But we think when you use the term your heart's desire, you actually think of first and foremost, you think of a relationship, someone that you hold in high esteem. That's like the first thing that comes to mind. But the truth be told, that is only a part of it. You know, I think that we do need to have that, and not everybody is going. Or let's say this. I'll say it this way: everybody's going to have that person, and it doesn't have to necessarily be another man or a woman that you're interested in. It could be somebody that you look up to, that you utilize that energy not to please, but to, like with me, I want to be Ann McNeil one day.
Not straight completely, up. Right?
No, I'm not going to do, like, the female part. I'm just talking about the shrewd business person.
Oh, God. All right, let me make my next point before you go on. Hopefully we'll forget what you're about to say.
Before you go into your point, I bet you can't guess what I'm about to say.
We're going to take a quick commercial break.
Oh, you know me.
You guys are something else.
Okay, go ahead. Let's take this break.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com www.facebook.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And we're back. But, you know, Vaughn, I'm glad you mentioned that because that was going to be my next point, in that feeling invincible, you know, sex transmutation does not only, well, okay, it's an internal thing, and a lot of times it happens as a result of our connection and our relationship with other people, but you're right. In my opinion, you're right in that it doesn't necessarily, it doesn't always flow between man and woman. You know, it doesn't always flow from romantic relationships.
Right.
You know, you and I were talking yesterday morning, and I said, you know, you're my big brother, and I think, you know, what did I say? Something like, You're one of the best people to talk to about this, or you're one of the smartest people, or something like that.
Listen, you can say all of those things. I love them. Keep it going. I love them.
I don't remember what I said, but it was something like that. And we have to remember that that type of affirmation, that goes all across the board. So it doesn't. So the feelings of invincibility, it doesn't only happen through man-woman sexual relationships. My mother used to say to me all the time, and she does still sometimes now, but we don't work together like we used to, but my mother used to say to me, Danelle, you're one of the smartest people I know. And, you know, my mother's probably listening, and I haven't heard you say that in a while, so I'm kind of putting that out there. I haven't heard that in a while. And I used to tell her, oh, Ma, you just say that because I'm your daughter. But irrespective of why she said it, that did it for me. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? That was my Napoleon Bonaparte, Josephine moment. You know, so when we affirm people, and again, going back to the five love languages, it depends on what it is that makes you feel invincible.
Right.
You know, there are multiple parts to this sex transmutation topic. There is where you yourself are in your own life and in your own self-discovery of who you are. But at the same time, and of course this is all life according to me now, but at the same time, there's also an external connection to the relationships that you have, if that makes sense. So that was my feeling of invincibility. And so after that, you know, after hearing my mom say, oh, Danelle, you know, you're one of the smartest people I know. You can do anything, and so on and so forth. Well, of course, I could do anything. And imagine if you told your kids that every other day, just out of the blue, several times a week. You know, they wouldn't necessarily need that validation, mistaking
anywhere
it for
else.
Sex, here we go,
anywhere
you know,
else.
From someplace else. Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly.
And it's.
Can you put
and
a pin
so,
right there? Can you put a pin right there?
I'll do my
right
best
there?
To now. You know, I can't hold it for long.
I have to say this. So do you think that our president, Barack Obama, I give a shout-out to my main man, Michelle has something to do with the greatness that we now know as President Barack Obama?
Most definitely. You know, I was reading a couple days ago, and when the first family, when the president and his family were interviewed by Oprah during the first during his first term, he asked her, Oprah asked President Obama how he was able to do it. You know, how are you able to hold it down? How are you able to keep it together? And he said, without blinking, it's Michelle.
Aww.
He said, I can do what I do. I can do what I have to do because I know Michelle is holding it down. That is not a quote. Okay, that's not a direct quote. That was just of what he was saying. You know, he can do what he has to do in running the country and running the world because he has full confidence in Michelle. So, yeah, I do believe, you know, and full confidence in Michelle being able to hold it down in every other place and keep things steady in every other place, that he doesn't have to be concerned about that.
This makes me think about what happened with our other president, President Clinton.
Uh-oh.
Hillary seems to be a very strong mind woman and looks like she's behind her husband. What happened there, you know, for him to, you know, to step out of his marriage and indulge in what he says, not sex, with Monica? What do you guys think happened there?
He said not sex. He said I did not have sexual relations with this woman.
So what happened there?
Is it time for another commercial break?
Hey, listen,
It makes you wonder. I see her as a very strong woman that she, you know, she was behind her husband, although she still stood behind, you know, she's still standing behind her husband. You know, they're still married. So what happened?
It makes you wonder if I don't know who it's with, but it makes you wonder if maybe that energy or that just like it says about Napoleon and Josephine, at some point there was a snap, there was a break in that communication, in that energy being channeled, there was a break, and it allowed for other things to happen, not having sexual relations with that woman.
You know what I think it was? They were not part of International Mastermind.
That's what it was.
They had read, listen,
we keep asking questions on the subject today, but the truth be told, the answers are right here in the book. They are in the book. So that means of course they were not masterminding with a group or with each other.
This is what I mean by they were not. Of course, I mean that part in jest, but we all know that when there is an imbalance, things begin to go haywire. They go ballistic, just crazy. And that's what the International Mastermind Association is all about. It's helping you to create balance and maintain that balance in your life. So that's what I mean when I say they weren't a part of International Mastermind Association. Maybe they were masterminding. Maybe they were masterminding some other part of their lives, like career or something like that. But, you know, when I look at our current first family, there appears to be a great deal of balance. So prayerfully, and I do very much mean this prayerfully, and we know that we have watchmen on the wall who are constantly prayerful about this, that whatever imbalance there may be that exists there, that it won't leak out of the house. Let's move quickly onto page 200. So we're talking about why most people seldom succeed before 40. I think that's one of the reasons. I believe that one of the reasons is that we don't, I mean, we'll read from the book Okay, let's go from the second paragraph. This study, meaning, wait a minute, didn't you all cover this already?
Yes, we said, I think Vaughn did.
Okay. So this study disclosed the fact that one major reason why the majority of people who succeed do not begin to do so before the age of 40 to 50 is your tendency to dissipate, let's say, wane or expend their energies through overindulgence and the physical expression of the emotion of sex. Now, if anyone will remember, overindulgence was one of the major causes of failure in the previous chapters that we, you know, that we've read. Most people, continuing from the second paragraph, most people never learn that the sexual urge has other possibilities which far transcend an importance that of mere physical expression. There's more to do with sex than sex. No, there's more to do with the sexual urge, with the desire, than to actually have sex. So it's like he's saying, you know, be creative with that. You don't have to just have sex. It's like, yeah, you know, when your stomach is growling, do something else. You don't have to eat every time. You know, your stomach may growl like 15 times throughout the day. That doesn't mean that you have to eat that many times. The majority of those who do make this discovery do so after having wasted many years, and that part is in italics, at a period when sexual energy is at its height prior to the age of 45 to 50. And we know that it's said, research says, that the sexual peak for women is, what, 30s, early 30s, something like that. And for boys, it's like from age 10 to 100 or something like that. I'm just joking about that. This usually is followed. This usually is followed by noteworthy achievements. So to me, this part is saying, you know, what I just said a minute ago, knowing what to do with that energy. You know, just because you have the urge doesn't mean that you have to fulfill it in that way. Get in touch with other ways of fulfilling it. You know, expand your thinking, your thought process, your experiences.
Yes. So do we go back to possibly reading the chapter, and I'm not sure which chapter it is, The Creative Imagination?
Yes. That's an excellent idea. Yes.
Right, because once we learn to channel, once again, that energy, channel that energy towards something other than what we feel or what we think it's for, if we're able to channel that energy, we can actually, and it sounds funny for me to like say, I plan to be a genius or I plan to operate as a genius, but the truth be told, the power is within me to operate as a genius.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And what it is that's one of the barriers, one of the walls that has been built around us for whatever the reason may be. That's one of the walls that have been built around us, and we have to learn, and we can't, like the book says, we can't try to go over the wall or go around the wall. It takes too much time. That's why it's 40 or 50. We have to learn to break that wall down, destroy it, in order for us to get to the next avenue of life, you know, the next avenue of focus. You know, we all say that we want great things in every area of our lives. We want great health, but none of us will go to the gym. You've been paying a gym membership for 6 months, and you've been there twice.
Yeah, true.
It takes more than joining the gym to get you healthy.
Right.
You know, it takes more than that. So we can say anything with our mouths. We can say anything, but until we learn to use the energy that got us to the point where we had to say, I'm going to get fit this year. You know, that it took energy. You thought that was a part of your thought process. You knew that there was something wrong and you wanted to correct it. And in order for you to correct it, you thought that just joining the gym would be enough, and that's not true. You know, you have to utilize that energy.
And by the way, before we take this next commercial break, exercise is also another great way to transmute that energy, that desire. So we're going to go on ahead and we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
We're moving right along. Danelle, I wanna go into a paragraph that I've been reading on page 201. It's the third paragraph. It says, the world is ruled and the destiny of civilization is established by human emotions. People are influenced in their actions not by reason so much as by feeling. The creative faculty of the mind is set into action entirely by emotions and not by cold reason. And that's exactly what I was just saying. It's, you know, it's the same thing. How do I want to say this? It took your mind power to get you to first even go to that gym and sign up and have them take your bank account information and pull out $22.95 every month. But you have to do more. It's just like the Bible says, faith without works is dead. You know, we can believe that great God is going to fulfill our every need and our every desire, but if we don't move on those things, it's nothing. If that makes sense. You know what I mean? We have to move on. I'm sorry, Danelle, go ahead.
No, go ahead, finish.
I think that we have to we claim that we want more from life, and that's in every aspect. A person that we want a better health, we want better finances, we want even ambitious things, we want better living and bigger cars and so on and so forth, even the things that are ambitious. But if we don't move on them, if we don't act upon those things, how do we expect to attain them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that gives us a summary, you know, an actual answer to the mystery of sex transmutation. It actually, like, not an answer, but, like, it defines it.
Mm-hmm. The second sentence in that paragraph, and I was actually after the commercial break going to start reading on that next paragraph where it states a mind stimulant, but the second paragraph is another reason why most people seldom succeed before 40, and the sentence reads, people are influenced in their actions not by reason so much as by feelings. We are driven by emotion, for the most part. Even men who are, men reason, they respond and act based on reason more than they do based on emotion, opposite of women, but that's another reason that's another reason why most people seldom succeed before 40, because we act, we move out of our feelings and our emotions and not so much by reason. Another thing that I wanted to read from, that same paragraph is the last sentence. There are other mind stimulants, some of which have been listed, and I think for that, and this is my open parenthesis, close parenthesis, you have to determine what your own mind stimulant is, okay? Some of which have been listed, but no one of them, nor all of them combined, can equal the driving power of sex. So if we turn back, for those who are just joining us and you're listening to the Plan with Intention Mastermind Group of the International Mastermind Association, those driving forces, the 10 mind stimuli, one, the desire for sexual expression. Two, love. Three, a burning desire for fame, power, or financial gain. In other words, money. Four, music. Five, close friendship between either those of the same sex or those of the opposite sex. Six, a mastermind alliance based upon the harmony of two or more people who ally themselves for spiritual or temporal advancement. Seven, mutual suffering, such as that experienced by people who are persecuted. Eight, autosuggestion. Nine, fear. And 10, narcotics and alcohol. So those are the 10 mind stimuli that Napoleon Hill mentions in his book. But he says in this paragraph, not one of them, nor all of them combined, can equal the driving power of sex. I just wanted I thought that those two points from that paragraph were interesting enough to be read. And then going on to the next paragraph, and we're on page 201 of chapter 10, Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, The Mystery of Sex Transmutation. A mind stimulant is any influence which will either temporarily or permanently increase significantly the freedom, intensity, and concentration of thought. Again, if you wonder what is a mind stimulant, you just read 10 of them. A mind stimulant is any influence which will either temporarily or permanently increase significantly the freedom, intensity, and concentration of thought. So of those 10, ask yourself, which of these 10 really get me going? If you will, which of these 10 really move me to cause me or provoke me to change my life, change my habits, my train of thought, the way I think. The 10 mind stimuli described earlier are the most commonly used. And so then I go back to the point that I mentioned earlier. If none of these move you, then you have to determine, you have to know, you should know, not you should, but consider, I'll say that, consider what moves you. Consider what is your mind stimuli. Through these sources or combinations of them, one may commune with infinite intelligence or enter at will the storehouse of the subconscious mind, either one's own or that of another, a procedure which is all there is of genius. That is just delicious. Okay, I have to read that again. The 10 mind stimuli described earlier are those most commonly used. Through these sources or combinations of them, one may commune with infinite intelligence or enter at will the storehouse of the subconscious mind, either one's own or that of another, a procedure which is all there is of genius. Did anyone have anything to add? No? Hello?
See, that was lifeline time. See, that's what I was talking about. When that pause comes,
but
that's
took when, too long.
The lifeline. I just did it. I did it just to let everybody know how it feels. Danil.
Dirty, yes.
Danil, you're awesome. You are awesome. You're awesome. And just reading the fact, just reading and understanding that one day I can operate as a genius, and I'm not waiting until I'm 50 years old to start operating in my gift.
Yeah, just making it a habit.
Yeah, that's what it is. I think that's what it is. Being consistent and doing things repetitiously. We have to think this way, and we have to. This is the chapter that should be read. If you read the book one time, you need to read this chapter maybe six for every one time you read the book, because it's something that because of the way you're programmed. Be it whatever it may be, be it television, conversation amongst friends, or whatever, you have to desensitize yourself from that situation.
And I'd like to read the next part, which talks about how our how our own self, anyway, how it's communicated to others, how our energy, if you will, that's a good way of putting it, how our energy is communicated to others. So I'll start at the beginning of the paragraph, unless someone else would like to read. No? Okay. On the bottom of page 201, the very last paragraph, a teacher who has trained and directed the efforts of more than 30,000 people involved in sales made the astounding discovery that individuals with high sex drives generally make the most efficient salespeople. The explanation is that the factor of personality known as personal magnetism is nothing more nor less than sex energy. Individuals with high sex drives always have a plentiful supply of personal magnetism. Now, someone else correct me. When Napoleon Hill talks about high sex drive, I'm not thinking that he's talking about, if you will, liking to have sex. I'm not thinking that's what he's talking about. Does anyone else have anything agreeable or contrary to that thought before I move on?
Could it be the sense, the having that sensation or the feelings, the emotion that comes from sexual desires?
I think he's talking about an awareness, an emotion, like you just said, if you will. But I think it's more of an awareness, not so much loving to have sex or liking to be sexually involved or engaged, but just
the emotion part of it.
So the explanation is that the factor of personality known as personal magnetism is nothing more nor less than sex energy. Individuals with high sex drives always have a plentiful supply of personal magnetism. Through cultivation and understanding, this vital force may be drawn upon and used to great advantage in relationships with other people. Here we go. Okay, we're getting to the exciting part, the other exciting part. This powerful energy may be communicated to others through the following, and this is the cliffhanger because we do have a caller whose hand is up, and the last four digits are 0625. Your hand has been up, and your mic is open. Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hi, this is Pastor Miles Fitzpatrick from Battle Creek, Michigan. Very much enjoying the conversation this morning. And
I
want to say, as one who is over 50, that achievement is a possibility in the earlier decades. But I do really believe that a lot of it is tied to God's desire for procreation, and that if those desires were squelched prior to a certain biological clock ticking, that we would just not be where we need to be as a society, just as humanity. notwithstanding the need for to transmute these desires into positive energy outside
right.
of the sexual arena is unquestionable. We have to move past that. But I do believe that there is a certain wisdom and a certain understanding that during the earlier decades, it is absolutely, you know, there was a master design, and there's
mm-hmm.
a reason why the urge to merge is so strong in the earlier decades, because biologically, in order for procreation to occur and the planet to succeed, it had to be that way. So I
right.
just wanted to throw that in.
Well, we are glad that you decided to call in and throw that in. Thank you very much. And since you are on the line, how do we do that? Well, how do we help not so much to squelch the urge to merge? I love that, by the way. I will be using
that. The
urge
to merge. I like it, too.
But, you know, particularly for those of us who are involved with young people, and this is a question that Vaughn will probably continue to ask for the rest of the month. How do we do that for those of us who have nieces, nephews, children, grandchildren, or just work with children? How do we help them to not so much squelch it, but to transmute it and redirect it?
Well, that's
in a
the,
way that God would be pleased with.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, there's a quote that I was looking for. It's very it's a common quote, but I couldn't remember who had said it, but I think it might have been attributed to Buddha. But when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. I'm mm-hmm. sure everyone's heard that about 1,000 times or more.
Right.
And oftentimes I have four kids. They're all grown now and in college and doing well, and just wife and I are close to empty nesters and 30-year marriage and that kind of thing. And you know, I bought them all copies of Think and Grow Rich, like right out of high school, and I mean, even before. It's interesting because most of the time those copies, they don't even know where they are, and you know, and I keep buying them and you know, giving them away and then downloading it on their various e-devices, but you can't force wisdom. Wisdom opens up when that student is ready, the teacher will appear, and they
yeah.
have to come to their own aha moment. They must mm-hmm. have their own revelation, and when their eyes of their understanding are enlightened, then that's when it will click. And if it's when they're 20, so be it. If it's when they're 30, so be it. But or 40 or beyond. But the bottom line is that try as we might, you cannot force feed wisdom. Jesus came into his own and his own received him not. And so none of us are greater than the master. And if he couldn't force feed wisdom, I dare say none of us will.
Wow.
Pastor, I love what you're saying. I really do. But I also know that there's a way for us to actually feed them without them knowing what they're eating. If any of you have watched like Things on the Cooking Show, and they, you know, this is a health conscious society, where you see parents that bake brownies, but one of the main ingredients is broccoli.
I'm so glad I did not grow up in a deceptive household such as that one.
Hey, call it what you want to call it, but we have to plant the seed. You dig? We have to plant that seed. And that seed being planted, it doesn't mean that it's going to grow today. Or if not even plant the seed, I at least need to give my kids those seeds. You know what I mean? So that in time they will come back and say, Dad, what do I do with this seed? And that's
mm-hmm.
I think that's the time that the pastor is talking about. In their own time,
mm-hmm.
just because you are a gardener, just because you went and bought a new seed didn't mean you were going to plant it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But because
absolutely.
You had the seed, when the season was upon you, then you already equipped to do the planting. You dig what I'm saying?
Absolutely, absolutely. The process is always here a little, there a little. It's always going to require us to invest in a life, not sound bites, but a lifetime. And that's why children, you know, parenting and raising children is the best way to, you know, to disciple. You know, discipleship starts at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was paid a real strong compliment yesterday when I was just at the YMCA, and one of my members had told me, she said, Pastor, your son wants to be just like you, and he's you're his biggest hero.
Wow.
And I had never heard him say anything like that. He probably would never say it to me. He's 18 anyway. But, you know, she was referring to martial arts and how he's just like me, fights like me, how he plays piano like me, or actually better, and various things. But it took years. It took two decades of investing to reap those dividends, those rewards. And it's just, there's no way to shortcut the process. And it's all about seeds, like you just said, you know. And so, yeah, you can salt the oats, you know, if he's not hungry, if, you know, and the student is not quite ready. Please believe, you know, you most certainly can put incentives, and you can even, you know, you can be a little tricky, you know, to make it happen. But by and large, when they have their moment, there's no forcing of their moment. Their moment is uniquely theirs. And when they come to it, it's a marvelous thing.
So did they ever read the books?
Sections of it. Whatever,
okay.
Whatever he needed at the time.
Well, I'd say so.
Pastor, before you go, I have to say, preacher. I have to say it. You preach, you do your thing. I wish you would have raised your hand a little earlier. Could have raised your hand.
I think he did, but I was kind of on a roll, so I'll be heavy for that.
So what you're telling me is that you were slipping on your pimping.
Pastor Miles, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you making the comment.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Now, Danelle, I think we have some business to attend to before we, I think we're like 10 minutes left on the air. I think we have some business to take care of.
All right. You take care of it.
You handle that.
Goodness. All right. So with our last couple of minutes, we are, again, coming up to the time of our annual conference. And by the way, for everyone who was kind of on the edge of their seat with me about to go into how we communicate that magnetism to others, you have to tune in next week. Same time, same place, blogtalkradio.com/masterminders for the International Mastermind Association weekly blog talk radio program. On January 11th and 12th, we will be having our annual meeting of the minds in Boca Raton, Florida. And that commercial was played earlier, and we'll play that again. And the International Mastermind Association annual meeting of the minds is a time that we come together and we mastermind, we set goals, we affirm one another, we affirm ourselves, we kind of check in with one another, even checking in with ourselves in terms of balance, creating a life of balance. And if you've wondered what's next for me, I'm looking to change or have my circle, have my life better influenced. This is a great way and a great place to have that done. So we'll go on ahead and get into that commercial, and then we'll be right back.
The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together. Start your year with full accountability and balance. Join the International Mastermind Association Friday and Saturday, January 11th and 12th, 2013, for the International Mastermind Association Annual Retreat in beautiful Boca Raton, Florida. The International Mastermind Association Annual Retreat is a day and a half of accountability, creating, sharing, and celebrating goals and accomplishments with like-minded individuals that are living their lives on purpose. You don't want to miss it. For registration and more information on this life-enlightening event, please visit our website at internationalmasterminders.com.
And we're back. So we'd like to invite everyone, if you've been a part of the International Mastermind Association annual meeting of the minds in January, we have like maybe 2 minutes left on the show, so we invite anyone to call in and share your thoughts, share your experiences in that. Rose, Vaughn, do you have anything that you'd like to add, or Chad, before we leave the line?
Of course I have something I would like to add. This is Vaughn speaking. There's a caller that's usually on. Her initials are AMW. I'll just go by her initials. I haven't heard from her in a while. I'm kind of, you know, down. It's putting a little gloom in my morning. But if she's out there, we love you.
Well, we'll be sure to have her present.
You know who it is?
Of course I know who it is.
Okay, and her initials are, once again, AMW.
Well, in the meantime, we had the master builder on the line, so we could never go wrong with her presence.
That's right.
Good morning.
Okay, go ahead. Here you are.
Yes, thank you so very much. And I just have three things to just wrap up the day, and that is to let Vaughn know that AMW had a prior commitment, so she's unable to be on the call this morning. We had our annual preparation board meeting at 7 a.m., and so many of us were on that line this morning, planning for the future for this organization for the next 100 years in terms of where we're going with our vision. Number two, I want to thank Miles for the comments he made, because what he did was he really wrapped up everything that has been discussed and read in a package, and I really would encourage us, when Malachi comes, that we should take his part of that show and we should package it. Thirdly, lastly, but Danelle, you know I have to tell you that, yes, you still are one of the smartest people that I know, and I love you so very dearly. And with that, I'm signing out. Thank you.
Y'all can't see my cape flying in the wind.
Hey,
to let you know, I am standing. Hold on, I have to finish. I am standing on a mountain. My hands are on my hips. My head is up high, and my cape is a flapping in the wind.
Danelle,
thank you, Mom.
I have to say this, Miss Aaron, you're the only person I know, and I showed Danelle this yesterday. You're the only person I know that talks in a PowerPoint. The only person I know to have bullets while they talk.
We are at the last 5 seconds. We thank everyone for joining us. We look forward to hearing from you and speaking with you next week right here at 8 a.m. And we bid you a very great sexually transmutated week. Find your energy. Have a great week.